This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
The Starbucks pistachio latte will transport you to your happy place. The comforting flavor of pistachio, warm espresso, and milk, all with a brown buttery topping, make today a good day. Order ahead on the Starbucks app.
You're listening to the Career Musician Podcast with creator and host, Nomad. With 20-plus years of experience in the music industry, Nomad has done just about everything to earn a living as a career musician. From being music director to celebrity artists, playing iconic arenas and stadiums, composing for film and TV, and even playing your average local club gigs, he's done it all. Nomad's mission is to empower musicians across the globe with strategies for a sustainable career while blasting stereotypes, and to bring you tried and true wisdom from his colleagues in this crazy business we call music.
A degree in audio engineering from Full Sail University, a proper Pro Tools certification, working in the studio with the likes of Yo Gotti, Jim Jones, and even Dr. Dre, this young entrepreneur is crushing the game as a premier mix engineer and YouTube influencer. That's right, if you're in the music game and you have not heard of Wavy Wayne yet, then you must be living under a rock, because with over 100,000 subscribers on his YouTube channel, he is single-handedly changing the game on mixing techniques, tutorials, protocols, and even his own customized templates. As owner of Gateway Digital Studios and CEO of his own record label, Sauce Records Global LLC, Wavy Wayne knows what's up in the music game. Check it out right here on the Career Musician Podcast.
Wavy!
Yo, what's up? What's up?
Yo, it's so good to meet you, man.
Word up, virtual.
I love your shit, man. Super dope.
Thank you, bro.
Yeah, I was just watching how to mix a song from start to finish.
Okay.
I love watching your videos, man. They're so fun, bro.
Yeah, I try to keep it lit, you know what I'm saying? You got to have a little fun with the education. Bring the same energy that I do like I would if I was in the classroom setting, you know?
Yeah. Man, and I got to tell you, you succeed. You crush it. So
thank you.
We're cut from the same cloth. I have a passion for teaching. Uh-huh. And I think if you bring that energy, then you're winning right out of the gate, right?
Exactly, man. You know, that's really the main reason I even jumped into this, because it was a lot of boring information out there. It's like, all right, this is good information. It's just like sleepy as hell with the delivery.
Dude.
So I figure I'll spice up the market on audio engineering tutorials.
yes, so true, bro. All right, man, you mind if we just jump right in?
Yeah, let's do it.
Wavy Wayne, welcome to the Career Musician Podcast.
What's up?
Dude, I'm so excited to have you here, and I got to give big shout out to my boy, Eric G. Okay. Eric is the one who connected us.
Okay, bet.
Because he's been checking out your tutorials for some time, and he's like, dude, you gotta get Wavy on the show. So he sent me some links, I checked out your shit, and I was like, that's it, no, he's in, let's go, let's do it. So
You know, it's so cool because he reached out to you out of the blue, and you responded, you know, like that, and here we are.
Yeah, man, I'm in a phase right now in the career where I'm trying to work with everybody and spread as far as possible, man. So I'm happy to be here. I'm glad you guys thought of me and invited me to be on the show. So I think it's gonna be a good conversation that we give them.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Dope. I like it. From studio to studio. I'm looking at yours. You're looking at my studio.
You got a lot of guitars over there, man. I see your vibes.
Yeah, man. I've been playing for some time. So, you know, I tell people that most people come in, they're like, oh man, look at all these guitars. And they think that, you know, I just bought all these. But, you know, that's a huge misconception. Number one is a lot of them were given to me from, you know, via endorsement deals, you know. And then some of them were given to me from friends or I inherited from my father or, you know, and then a handful of them I do buy as well. So it's really a combination.
Yeah, that's how it is. You accumulate a lot of gear, and you know when you're in this field, you don't let anything go. It's like, oh no, nah, just because I got a new one, don't mean I'm getting rid of the old one. I never know what I might need.
Man, it's a trip, isn't it? It's so funny. My
collection, it makes nice wallpaper.
right, exactly. So cool. All right, we're getting started here. First of all, if you don't know who Wavy Wayne is, go to wavywayne.com, number one, and then go look him up on YouTube. And you're crushing the YouTube game, bro.
Yeah.
So there's so much I want to talk about, but I feel like I want to break this down in kind of like two segments. I want you to talk about your mixing and engineering expertise, and then I want to talk about how you know, in an entrepreneurial sense, brought that to, you know, the YouTube platform. So I know that's a lot, but, you know, I'm thinking if we can...
No, we can definitely tackle in. You just want me to jump in on that?
Yeah, but before that, I have to do this with everybody. I have to get a brief history of who you are, you know, how you got into it. And I always like to say, how did the music bug bite you?
Man, how did the music bug bite me? Well, I was in the band as a kid, like marching band, right? And I was a percussionist, so I was lug around my xylophone and a snare drum to school every morning, and we would practice that way, and that's like from second grade up. Eventually, I started rapping, and Nelly, I'm from St. Louis, so Nelly was just getting popular around that time. I was probably like 13 around that age, or maybe a little younger. And Nelly was getting popping, and everybody in St. Louis was like, yo, man, we got to start rapping. And so a lot of people just start rapping and doing shows, and I got into that. And as an artist, I actually went to the studio one day. I went to a professional studio. This was one of the guys who actually did a lot of recording with Nelly and stuff. So I was working with some older dudes, and we went to a nice studio. The engineer there, his name was Adam Long. He's, you know, been nominated for many Grammys, and he's done so much stuff. But really, me as a kid coming to that studio and seeing Adam's his enthusiasm about what was going on from an engineer standpoint. And then obviously all the gear, they had an SSL at that studio then. And I didn't know anything about this stuff. The only recording I ever did was like using a computer microphone back then, you know, the long skinny ones that we used to have on the PC. So I used to record on that, and then, you know, some in between stuff, but this was the real deal. And Adam was so enthusiastic about everything that I really got attached to the engineering side of things more because of that experience. It's actually crazy because, you know what I mean, it comes back around full circle. I was inspired by Adam as a 15-year-old walking into the studio for the first time, and it was about, what, 2 years ago now? 2 years ago, I was at a music networking event. I see Adam Long. I hadn't seen him since I was like about 15, 16 years old. I see him in there. He's like, yo, you're Wavy Wayne. He doesn't even remember me. He's like, yo, you're Wavy Wayne from YouTube. I'm like, bruh, you're Adam Long. You're the whole reason that I even do recording and mixing and engineering and everything. He's like, yeah, I was watching your video on auto-tune and shit. I'm like, bruh, why the hell are you watching my videos? I need to be learning from you.
Full circle, man.
Yeah, so, but yeah, me and Adam are now, like, it's crazy because we working together so closely now. And so, yeah, I love how that came to be. And, yeah, so that's one part, man. He really inspired me to want to engineer. I did that through high school. kind of producing and recording myself. I used to make beats and stuff and then start doing my friends. And I knew I had to have a career in music. I knew it wasn't no way I could just walk away from this or and get a typical, you know, straight edge job. It just wasn't in me. I felt like the music was the way. And,
Did that hit you when you're on the field playing snare drum and xylophone, or did it hit you at a later date when you got more in the studio? Like, when did that really sink in?
I think it was all of it, because being a marching band, it was such a community feeling there too. It was like, I was so empowered being on that band, and then from being in the studio and being able to create stuff that way, it kind of tied in, because a lot of the people in the band, you know, we would record stuff as well outside of marching band. So that was like, it was just the fusion of it, being surrounded by music all the ways, from marching band to making beats on the computer and then in the studio. It was just like, man, what can I do after this? And then I was even fortunate enough in high school to I got transferred to a nice high school my last 2 years, and they had a music tech class. So in that class, we learned how to use a DAW. We learned how to use the first DAW. We learned how to use a FL. Was it FL? No, it was Reason and GarageBand. They taught us that in high school. And from there, just having that exposure, I really was locked in on it. Okay, like, if they taking this seriously in school, then obviously I can take it seriously too. So
man, the same thing happened to me. I went 2 years, my last 2 years of high school, to a performing arts school, and it's so immersive, like you say. And they teach you how to take it seriously, so then it just solidifies everything, right?
Yeah, man, that school was so dope. I took a class. That's where I learned how to do video editing, Photoshop, like everything that I'm using right now. Like, I learned in those last 2 years of high school, for the most part. after that, though, I spent some time at Full Sail. I went to Full Sail. And
I saw that, bro. That's impressive.
Graduated from there, moved straight to New York City and started interning.
So you were in St. Louis this whole time. Then you go down to Orlando, Full Sail, and then you head to New York.
Then I head to New York, man. I knew I couldn't go back. You know, I wasn't going to go back to St. Louis. You know, I wanted to go all the way. Even just going to Full Sail for me and where I'm from, it was a huge deal that I got out of here and was able to do that, man. Like, people thought I already made it. I'm like, dude, I'm just in school. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yo, Wayne down there at rap school or whatever. Like, man, I'm just in school trying to learn something. But, like, it was so much riding on it that I really had to apply myself and go hard. And so I did that, man. And yeah, there was no way I was coming back. So I was like, all right, I got to find an internship after school somewhere. And I used my financial aid, my last financial aid little disbursement they give us for living expenses, and I saved that money and had enough to live in New York for 2 months. So I gave myself that cushion of living off of that until I could make some money. So I just went up there and worked for free.
See, that's what I always talk about. It takes that proactive energy and thought and action. Yeah. And not just thinking about it, actually. It's thinking about it, devising a plan, and then executing.
Absolutely. You got to have all three of those, man. Like, they had at Full Sail a career development program, you know, and people that's supposed to help you find these different things. But if you wait on that, man, they working with 1,000 kids every day, you know. Like, I couldn't wait on them. I had to go and reach out to places on my own. During spring break, I was like, okay, cool. Instead of going to some spring break shit, I don't know if we can say shit on your podcast.
No, you can curse. Yeah, I believe you. I'm a truck driver.
So instead of doing that, man, I went off to I went to New York and visited those places. Man, I like really did the stuff that the teachers were saying to do. Like, yes, this is what you have to do. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do exactly that. I'm going to go. Can I meet the studio manager? How you doing? I'll be graduating in 6 months, and I want to come work here. Type of stuff.
See, that's what I'm talking about, man. That's taking initiative.
Yes.
That's brilliant. That's what you got to do. And guess what? As career musicians, nobody gives a shit about us. Nobody's doing it for us.
Nobody's going to do it for you.
Man. You know, at least if you're an artist and you get to like a mid-level artistry and then you climb the ladder, at least you have a manager who's on your team, right? Advocating for you. We don't get that. right out the gate, you have to be your biggest advocate. Sorry, I'm just so excited about
how you did this. That's so real what you're saying, man. Like, if you don't really believe it and go hard for yourself, then nobody else will, especially as an artist, a musician. They're like, man, they're already so – everybody's so jaded by artists and up-and-coming this and up-and-coming that. It's like, dude – you got to really prove yourself. If you different than the 1,000 other motherfuckers who say they want to do it too, then you have to do more. You have to, because there's a million people every day. I think what they say, like a million songs, 10,000, I don't even know. Some crazy amount of songs get uploaded to all the stream services every day. So how are you going to make yours stand out when they already uploaded 200,000 songs today?
It's crazy, man. And I love that you said that. Take up and coming out of your vocabulary. Don't put it in your pitch. God
aspiring.
Forbid. Yeah. Aspiring or, you know, new on the scene, whatever. Like, all, yeah, exactly. Man, I love where you're going with this. All right. So you're up in New York. Now you're shaking hands with studio managers. You're going out, you're meeting everybody. Now the clock's ticking. You got 2 months of money.
Yeah.
So then what?
All right. So the clock is definitely ticking. So it took me about 6 to 8 months interning before I ever got a paid gig at Quad. So what I did, I got a job on the side, you know. I would sleep at the studio some nights and sleep at home and go straight to work, man. I was literally, that's all I was there for.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So I would do whatever it takes. If I got to work 10 hours at the studio, go work an 8-hour shift, sleep for 3 hours, and back in the studio, you know.
And now's the time to do it. When you were young, you're in your 20s, I'm assuming.
Exactly.
At that time, yeah.
Young. I was probably like, I think I was 19 when I first got to New York.
Come on.
Yeah. Young, no kids, no wife, responsibilities. Like, that was really the time. Like, now, I got to make sure a bunch of people eat. I got 3 kids and a wife. So it's like, yo, there's no way that I could be taking those chances now. Like, like, yo, we hungry. Like, when it's just you, you can eat off the same pack of ramen for 2 weeks.
That's the time to do it, man. That's right. That's right. Hey, by chance, what kind of day job did you get?
So
if you don't mind.
No, it's crazy. My first job in New York was working with this company called Children's International. Maybe you heard of them, but basically I call it selling babies.
Yes, I know what you're talking about now.
excuse me. Can I help you? Can I get you to stop and sponsor a child for 38 cents a day? It's less than that cup of Starbucks that you're drinking right now. Look, I used to lay it on thick, man.
Yo, dude, and you're doing that on the streets of New York. And you're from St. Louis, so you already got street smarts. And now you're in New York, so you're bringing that. And, you know, see, and now you're building character.
Exactly.
You're getting stories and life story, right?
Yeah, that job taught me so much. You said it right. You hit it right there, man. Building character, learning about resilience, being in sales, just being consistent and knowing that you have a mission and that no matter what's going on, because people walking down the streets in New York, I'm trying to stop you, for one. I'm lucky if you don't bump me out the way, you know what I'm saying? And then I'm like, or cuss me out or something, like, you know.
That's right.
Do all of that. I got a goal to hit today. And so, like, if I get 200 no's, only need 10 yeses today. So I got to go through 1,000. If I got to go through 1,000 people, I got to keep doing it. After the first, no, cool. You can't hold on to nothing, man. You can't, a failure, nothing. You got to move. If it doesn't work, move straight to the next one. Move straight to the next one. Move straight to the next one.
Man, I love that.
Definitely harder than others, for sure. You know what I mean? Because you start doubting yourself and questioning everything. You want to have a straight mental breakdown on the streets.
Isn't that crazy? And we all deal with that. Let's be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? And another thing about that too, that job working that, is that you learn not to internalize everything. Because here I am trying to stop a complete stranger. If they curse me out, I don't know what the hell they're going through. Maybe they just had the worst day. Maybe they just got fired from their job and I'm here asking them for money to support somebody else, you know? So you never know what somebody's going through, for one, and don't take anything personally, because however somebody responds to you, it's about what's going on with them. It's not about me, no matter what, you know? Whatever you do to me, it's about you.
So true.
Love or hate.
Yes. So fast forward, did you end up staying in New York, or where did you move? Where are you now with your studio?
I'm in St. Louis now.
Okay.
So I did stay in New York for about 7 years.
Great.
So Yeah, one of my first jobs through interning, I started working with Kid Capri.
Nice.
The DJ Kid Capri, he had a basement studio at his house, and I got connected with him through a studio manager that was working at Quad, you know, so that she saw me still like kind of interning and occasionally getting an assistant session, you know, that's paid. It's very competitive there. But yeah, I got linked in with Kid Capri, and I would go to his house about four times a week. I was getting about $100 a day, and I was like, cool. You know what I mean? And this is almost, I was almost ready to quit my job after that. And,
yeah.
But yeah, so I did stay in New York for a while doing that. Yeah,
For the people who think, listening, there might be some young people out there, whatever, I don't care, young or old, doesn't matter, that want to go to New York, that want to go to LA, that want to go to one of the big cities and do the same thing you did. You know, talk about the realities of living there. How did you figure that out? Because that's one of the things, like, you know, you're 18, 19 years old. You're like, well, I don't know how to go to New York and get an apartment. That's like scary, right? Because it's, you know.
I mean, everything is scary, man.
Right.
Everything is going.
Until you do it.
Doing so much stuff for the first time. You just got to do it.
That's right.
If you really want it, you got to take that leap of faith and know that the worst thing that could happen is really not that bad. Like, what is the worst you think can happen? Especially at that point, I went and got government assistance. You know what I mean? I'm like,
yes,
I'm barely making money. Let me get these food stamps, get an extra $200 or $300 a month to eat, you know, or whatever.
That's right.
So like those are options. You know, if you don't, you got to get rid of your pride, kill your pride and be willing to get three roommates.
Yes. Yes. What part of the city were you living in?
Every part.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, nice. When I first moved to New York, I was living in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I moved around Brooklyn so many times. Before I finally moved out, I was living in Harlem.
Nice. That's good that you got the whole scheme, you know, the whole vibe.
Yeah. It was always a struggle, you know,
for the most
time being in New York, because you know, rents, everything is constantly going up, right? So
constantly.
That's why I would move every time the lease was up. Like, oh, you going up on rent? I guess I got to move. But, you know, because for a while, you working as a freelance engineer is a fight every day. You know, so one week you might make a few thousand dollars in a week. And then in the next 6 weeks, you might make a few hundred dollars.
That's right.
So you have to also learn how to budget your money and use your money wisely. You know, you get a large lump sum, you can't go out and spend it all. You got to think about how long realistically it's going to last you and what you need to do with it. So
I always talk about budgeting because, like you said, we never know. We might be able, and you know, speaking in real terms, maybe you got a good session and maybe you got $1,000, right? And you're like, okay, cool, I got a G. But you can't just go start spending that recklessly, because maybe that grand is going to get you through the next 2 to 4 weeks, right? You know, and that scale is you know, movable. That's a fluctuating scale. You might, 1 month, you might have $10,000 income. The next 3 months, you might have $500 each month, right?
Like, for real, man. So you got to really be disciplined with your money and budget it. Even though, and that's hard to do as a young kid in New York. You're like, man, look, we going out.
Right.
We having fun.
Right.
But for me, I had so much time. So after I was working with Kid Capri for a while, going to his house every night, then kind of during my internship, I was building up this relationship with Jim Jones, the rapper from Dipset, had the big song Ballin'.
Yep.
This is right after that Ballin' song was out. So he was a multi-platinum artist. And so I started off interning in his sessions, just because I was an intern from Quad. Like my second, third day, I'm in there just cleaning up the blunt guts and, you know, running to get some more blunts. And it was a lot of blunts in his session. So, so that's what I was doing. But I built a relationship with him and his team. And ultimately, like 2 years later from like our first encounter, Jim opened up his own studio called Empire Studios. It was in Manhattan, down the block from Empire State Building. And
nice.
They reached out to me to come and be the head engineer.
Dude,
so that was like my big break off moment. Like, yo, okay, cool. I got solid, consistent work now. It was 6 days a week.
Yeah,
six nights a week from 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. was our schedule.
Wow. Now that's a schedule. Yeah. So
that's the schedule.
You had to go in early though. You would go in and prep, right?
Ultimately, I would, most days I would get there right about 9 o'clock, you know, honestly, because the way Jim worked, he would have me there at nine. He might not always be there. It might not always be stuff to do. Since it was his suit, he just wanted to make sure that whenever he got there, I was there, you know what I mean, ready to record. So I would always be there at least by 9 o'clock. But after the first time, like, I know what I'm going to do. I got a vocal mic in the booth and set it up. Like, the setup is set up. We're not taking it down every night. Like,
right.
The setup is there. So it was just like walk in and go. A lot of people came through there. That's where I did a session with Dr. Dre there at Jim's studio and Future and Yo Gotti, man. A lot of people end up coming through that spot, and I got to work on a lot of different projects.
Dude, that's so awesome. Okay, so now you're in Manhattan. You're in the heart of the city. You're working 6 nights a week. I love the nighttime schedule. That had to be fun. A little challenging, but still fun, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You meet people.
Yeah, I gave up the best time of my all my party years. Yeah. You know, in my young 20s, I was in the studio from 9 to 5, 6 nights a week.
Yeah. But that's good though, man. That's good. Like I said, you learn so much like that.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I learned a lot.
And just hanging out in those sessions, listening to those cats talk.
Yes.
You're learning a lot about business now.
That's the good thing about Jim. Yeah. Jim was very intentional about making sure that the people around him stayed there whenever he had business meetings. So if Leor Cohen came in or whoever it was that he was having a meeting with that day, he would allow me to sit in the room and make sure that I was in the room. He'd call me if I was in another room. Yo, Wayne, make sure you sit down and listen to this. You know, being around that and allowing it, having him just be open about everything that was going on with the business and just letting us soak it up, that really helped me and gave me a insight to what's really going on in the game and how to navigate.
Man, those are invaluable times, man. Yeah.
Oh, sure.
So then that ran its course, and then you came back to St. Louis to set up your own studio?
Yeah, so that went for a while. And then I started actually doing some teaching. While I was still in New York, I started teaching an after-school program called Hip Hop Jobs. I'm always watching the trends in the industry, right? Obviously, around this time, in mid, like 2010, 2008 type of time, around there from 8 to 12, everybody was really pulling away from big format studios, and a lot of the home studio scene was super exploding. And so I wanted to make sure I was ahead of that curve. And so I automatically thought to start teaching people how to do their own recording. So I started a workshop at the studio on the weekends to where I just brought like 10, up and coming engineers.
Yeah, good. I like it. Yeah.
I brought them in and we went over some things in the studio, and that went good for a while. I did an after school program with some high school kids to help teach them some stuff. And I got plugged in with a college here back home in St. Louis. It was called Extreme Institute. Nelly was working on a college for production. So it had music business and it had a production side. And the director, we talked and they wanted me to come and do be an adjunct professor and teach a few classes. So I was like, you know what?
That's dope.
I think I'll do it at least for one term or so. And so it turned into about 3 years of me teaching there at that college. And I actually worked my way all the way up to one of the directors myself, right? So here I am, the director of this college. And
dude, that's huge.
So much about the institution, about how schools are run and how education is ran on a large scale. And, you know, so that really gave me a big platform for a lot of stuff that I'm doing now too, that I'm planning, and actually some stuff that ain't even hit the scene yet. A lot of opportunities. You got to realize maybe you're just there to learn. You know, this might not be the end all be all, but you might be here to learn something. And so, a lot of what I did by teaching at that college taught me how to be an independent teacher myself.
Yeah. I love this. I love all this. One of the things I always say is eyes and ears wide open, mouth shut. And I don't mean that in any kind of a disrespectful way. I actually mean it the opposite. Like, you never know what you can learn from, like you said, when Jim Jones called you in those meetings. And I'm sure he didn't bring you in there to do any negotiating or talking on his behalf. He handled that. He just wanted you to sit there and listen.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Watch and listen. Right? And the same thing when you go to school, you just shut up. I'm sure you sat through so many meetings where you just listened and soaked it all up, right?
Oh, yeah, man. Even meetings in the sessions, you can learn so much by being in a session with a multi-platinum producer or people who have been doing this stuff in the game. If you just be quiet enough to let them let you stay in the room long enough, you will see something. You will pick up on something. You will hear something. That's where a lot of the gems came from. Even just interning, I'm standing by the door watching every little thing. Oh, that's how you do that. Oh, you like those drum kits. That's the EQ you use on that? Okay, cool. I'm just soaking it all up. You don't have to ask questions.
Right.
Just watch.
Watch, listen. Dude. Oh, you know, my nephew, I think he's 19, is pursuing a career as an artist, a rapper. Mm-hmm. And he's making his tracks and stuff, but he's not making them, he's licensing them. And I take him out to breakfast the other day and I'm like, young blood, listen. and I just kind of schooled him, in my own uncle type way, XYZ, And he knows what I've done and what I do. And, he has reverence for that and I appreciate that. But that's what I'm trying to get across here. And that is, if there's anybody we're speaking to, that kind of is the people we're speaking to, the young cats who are fresh. They can't wait to get into it. They have to hear this. And I know sometimes, but this and that. Don't give me any yeah buts. Just like you said, shut up and pay attention.
Yeah, that's one thing that I feel like the younger generation struggles with so much right now. I'm glad that I had the ability to shut up and be humble.
Yes.
It seemed like humility we know it goes a long way, but it seemed like it's just gone, like from a lot of people.
Right.
I graduated from Full Sail. Now I'm an expert and I'm in your session. I'm going to give you my opinion. Like, bro, you got to chill. Nobody wants your opinion.
Oh, bro, you can say that a million times over again, man.
Nobody wants your opinion. If you're working with somebody who's done 10 times well more than you have for as long as you have, no, they do not want your opinion. Unless they explicitly asked you. And then in those cases, now you got to even know how to navigate that. Even if they do ask you, you might not want to give your real opinion. You might need to read the situation and see, what kind of opinion do I need to give this person, right? You're like, because one big way to kind of not get invited back to someplace is to make somebody else look dumb. Somebody who's in a higher position than you.
That's
if you make them look dumb or look bad in front of other people, no matter how smart you are, sometimes you just got to shut up. You might be the assistant, and I'm assisting this big-time engineer. I'm assisting whoever, and they're making an obvious mistake. I'm not going to call them out in front of the clients or dumb like that to where it's like, oh, yeah, and I make myself look good. And now you just made somebody else look bad, right?
Yeah. And by the way, congratulations, you're fired.
you're never coming back. I got some good advice from, mentors and stuff coming up, and they told me as an assistant, as an upcoming engineer, when you're an intern, your job is to make the assistant look good. When you're an assistant, your job is to make the engineer look good. Period. That's it. Don't try to ever make yourself look good when you're intern, the assistant.
And so forth. When you're the head engineer, your job is to make the producer look good. When you're the producer, your job is to make the artist look good.
And when you're the artist, then you just can be yourself.
Yeah, that's right. You can be a jerk if you want, but if you're a jerk, nobody's gonna want to work with you.
Absolutely.
When
you in these situations, it's the biggest people, the artists, the ones who's really popular and who've done things and got the notoriety, they're never the jerks.
Nope.
It's always the people around them. It's always they're never the jerks, man.
So true. Because they've been through so much just to get to that position.
Yeah, they're mad humble.
Yeah. This is perfect because one of the questions I like to ask all of my guests is studio etiquette. And I've been in some big sessions out here in LA and Nashville. That's primarily how I made a good portion of my living, being a session cat over the years. And you know, when big studio sessions were still happening, now obviously COVID has changed that. But the home, like you said, the home recording studio is, has always been a thing. I think for, gosh, for at least the past 18 years, I've had my own home studio, you know. So, but still, I would go do sessions. And or even if I'm doing something here and I have an intern come over, the biggest thing is when they just want to talk. I'm like, no, you know, I appreciate that you're here. You know, if you're an intern and you're not getting paid, I appreciate that you're here to help, to assist, but please don't talk. You know, I had a big session. I was doing a score for an off-Broadway show, and we had one day to track everything. And we had like 30 pieces of music to track, and I had the assistant bring in all the scores, all the music, right? And just organize everything. But then this kid, not only did he want to talk and interject his opinion, he stood between me and the client and the glass to the recording room for like 20 minutes. And I kept on trying to get his attention. Like, yo, dude, you need to move. I finally had to go over there, tap him on the shoulder and say, bro, you need to move.
Yeah. You know,
I've
been in that situation a couple of times, man. And what I've noticed, you know, is that obviously common sense is not common, and stuff that I knew when I was coming up, that to kind of humble myself and be quiet and step out the way, make yourself small when you're in these spaces. Like, take up as little room as possible.
Yes.
You know, but nowadays, when I had the last few times I've had people intern with me, I literally had to make a list of room. Mm-hmm. Here, this is how you need to act. Don't do this. Don't do that. When you hear, stand there until I say something, you know, because they just come in and they like, oh, man, I just finished this program. I'm ready to offer my input. I'm like, man, please shut up. Like, I think you should turn that snare up. You know what? So you're right here.
Yeah, do me a favor. Go get some food, please. Yeah. Oh, man, that's
a coffee run, my guy.
That's awesome, man. You've shared some great insight into throughout this whole, you know, story of how you came up. Let's talk about now you as the engineer and the studio and the mix guy and the creator. You know, like you said, you're here. You got your studio now in St. Louis. How long have you been set up there?
I've been here for 5 years.
Okay. And what keeps you busy most of the time? Is it mixing or, you know, what are the... What's your daily agenda?
Nowadays, it is completely mixing.
Okay.
Because YouTube has exploded so much. I get so many requests for mixes. People wanted me to mix their records remotely. And
sweet.
So that takes up a lot of what I do, which I love. I love mixing. I love working with clients too. But, you know, I love the ability to be a little more selective with the clients that I bring in for like recording sessions, because that stuff is grueling work. You know,
it sure is.
It's especially when you're just working with whoever, and you know, especially younger artists. Like, I just feel like my talents could be more used, could be better suited for like more polished artists, and we can kind of vibe off each other, you know. Right. I love to work with the new artists too, but again, I just like to be selective. Sometimes working with a brand new artist is problematic,
right?
It's more tedious than I want it to be.
Yes, so, unless they're like, a lot of times they could be super seasoned, you know, or kind of have an old soul or have learned some lessons early on. Yeah. You know, that kind of...
Here's the problem that I run into. Tell me what you think about this, or if you run into this. But basically, I think as an artist, you need to know your sound and know your vision, right? Kind of have a picture of where you want to go. I'm here. I want the artist to lead me. Now, we're going to be working back and forth. But if every time you record a line, how is that? How is that? I'm like, man, look, it was terrible, man. Like, man, what are we even doing here? Like, you know, like,
yes,
you got to have some type of confidence about yourself and assurance of what you're doing. when you are the artist. You know, and that confidence will come through in the music, man. And it's just hard to work with kind of the timid artists. Yo, what's up? This is Wavy Wayne from WavyWayne.com, and you're listening to the Career Musician Podcast with Nomad.
Blasting the stereotype of musicians. Follow us at the Career Musician Podcast.
Want to learn more about a particular topic? Tag at the Career Musician and use hashtag Career Musician to let us know what you'd like to hear.
Right. Well, I say that development is meant for the bedroom, right? Yeah. And cultivation and creation is meant for the studio. But you can't go and cultivate and create until you go through development. Yeah. And that's what we're missing now. If you think about back to Motown, that's why Berry Gordy was so successful, because he not only brought in the hottest talent, he had an eye and an ear for the talent. But a lot of times they were raw and he had to mold them. He developed them. Mm-hmm. They went to the University of Motown right. for months, for years sometimes, before he would cut a record on them and release it. Well, nowadays, because of the technology, because of YouTube, and because of all the tools we have, there's no more development. Oh, so I'm gonna download a beat for $12.99. I'm gonna buy a cheap-ass USB mic, plug it into my little cheap-ass laptop, buy a cheap-ass DAW, or get the one that's included with my computer,
yep.
record a track, and now I'm I'm not only going to upload it to SoundCloud. I'm going to upload that motherfucker to Spotify and Tidal and Apple Music, and you're going to see my shit right next to Jay-Z. What?
Yeah.
First of all, your shit doesn't even belong anywhere near the public eye yet.
Nowhere near.
You know, yeah. And that's what irks me. So, yes, I totally agree with you. And I'm like, look, dude, before you come into the marketplace, you better have a sound product. That's like saying, you know what? I know how to build motorcycles. And I go out into the junkyard and put some parts together. And I'm going to take that motorcycle and I'm going to put it in the Harley Davidson showroom and sell it. What? Right. No. Yeah.
The analogy I use on that is kind of like, you know, only our profession will somebody just wake up one day and decide that's what they are. I'm a rapper. I'm an engineer. I'm a producer. But like nobody wakes up one day and just says, I'm a doctor. I'm a lawyer. Like, no, you understand and respect the process behind that stuff. In our profession, they don't respect the process and understand it. So they just wake up one day and start calling themselves artists and producers and engineers, and they have not even touched the tip of the iceberg of what to do this.
I got one for you.
Yeah.
But now, let's make believe we didn't have this conversation. let's clean the slate. Excuse me, Mr. Wavy Wayne. What is the difference between a producer and a beat maker?
Exactly. Now, and most people don't know that. Like, yo, they would ask me, yo, Wayne, did you produce this record? Did you make this beat? I'm like, nah, I didn't make the beat, but I did produce it.
And then you floored everybody. So I want everybody to know that just because you know how to make a beat, that right. does not quantify you as a producer.
Not at all. You're a programmer.
Thank you.
Yeah. You know how to program sounds inside of your DAW by clicking those squares. that's programming. It's not producing. It's data entry.
And we used to call that, like, in Nashville, we'd be like, oh yeah, let's hire this programmer.
Yeah.
And exactly. they're gonna flesh out the demo, you know, and then we're gonna call in the musicians to play on top of that program demo.
Mm-hmm.
And then it might be an amalgamation of the two. When you mix it, you might use some of the program beats or sounds. You might use the, you know, blah, blah, blah. But that's what it is. It's a programmer. And yeah. let's talk about the latest update to Logic, where you just said clicking those squares.
Yeah.
They put the pad, the light up pads inside the DAW now.
Oh, man.
What's that all about? I was like.
They're trying to make it easier and easier, man.
I get it, but
a one button, you know, yeah. one button mixing, one button mastering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, okay. All right. Sounds like we're beating up a lot of people. We'll stop. But no, these
I
are.
I hope that whoever listens to this takes something from this. You know what I mean? Yes, it's not like we're just bashing or coming down to the stuff that we've learned. And it's like, listen, that's the wrong way to go about it.
That's right. All right. So now talk about your, and you don't have to divulge too much because I know this is your secret sauce. You know, talk about your studio rig and how you built it. And obviously, like you said, you respected the process. You went to school to learn, and then you interned in some of the biggest studios in the country. So you learned a lot. And then how did you take that information and apply it to your studio?
Honestly, it's always the ear, not the gear, right?
Ooh, that's a great one.
Yeah, you can make a hit record on your laptop or your iPad, whatever the hell, even your iPhone nowadays. If you know what you're doing and you have the skill set, you can definitely make it happen. When I first started my studio, I called it Gateway Digital Studios. I wanted to get away from all analog stuff. I'm like, yo, I want to be on the forward edge of everything. Everything is digital. We're not doing any hardware, but look at me now. I'm like, okay. got the LA-2A.
It's a 2A, the Tutronics.
I'm like, all right, well, I got a Neve Summing now. I'm like,
nice. We're gonna, is that a distressor down there?
Yeah, we got the distressor. Focus, right?
Yeah.
So, and I'm starting to build more. I'm like working backwards now. I'm like building more and more into the analog world, coming back into it. But honestly, I started off just with the digital mindset. And what I mainly learned is, you know, in the studio, it's all about the collaboration between you and the artist and the vibe that you can bring to the track. So my studio was very humble in the beginning. All I needed was my computer and a mouse and a keyboard and a nice set of monitors that I could trust. I did some acoustic treatment and stuff in the room. I actually built a vocal booth back when I believed in vocal booths. And it's a constantly evolving thing, man. So, yeah.
I love that. Now, talk about that. What made you stop believing in vocal booths? Because everybody's not using one now.
Right.
Fuck it.
Yeah, vocal booths... For the most part, they just kind of make the sound kind of small. And, you know, I want a larger sound. And I even, when I think back at working at Quad and stuff, we tracked vocals in Studio A. We didn't use a booth. We were in
that
live
big room. That's
there
right.
There were a couple gobos around.
Yes.
And which is basically kind of the same as like the reflection filters that everybody's using now. I'm like, yo, these are great. So, you know, if you get a nice quiet environment that's, you know, not crazy reflective, but in the room noise, the ambience, the room ambience is a great addition to making your recording sound natural. So I use all that stuff and, you know, learning that less is more. I used to do so much. Yeah. and nowadays it's just like, hey, you don't have to do all of that.
That's dope. I love it. So true. Less is more. KISS, keep it simple, stupid, right? That's the old acronym they used to use back in the day. So I noticed I was watching one of your videos and not only that, you're using Pro Tools in your videos, but you also are certified Pro Tools user, which I love. Yeah. Of course, it says Studio One, Logic Pro, Luna. I'm guessing, have you dabbled with Ableton Live at all? Or
nope.
No? Okay, that's one that you have.
That one that you kind of
yes in? That's my newest one because I love creating these loop based grooves and then I jam over it and play over it and create ideas, so I do enjoy that. How did you settle on Pro Tools? Because first, I'm a Pro Tools guy. First, I do all my work in Pro Tools. So if I'm recording for a client, if I'm mixing, if I'm composing, I'm in Pro Tools.
Exactly.
I might start somewhere, right?
Yeah. So I came to and settled on Pro Tools because in Full Sail, they offered the Pro Tools certification. I took that whole schooling and education so serious, and especially with the certification, it was not a lot of people passed the certification. So like we all took the test, but I wouldn't say like maybe 10% of the people who, you know, who were rolling these big school programs and go through it, like 10% of my class at Full Sail actually got the certification. So that to me, to actually work hard enough to separate myself and get this distinguishment, that meant something to me. And from there, by applying myself to learn that and get the certification, I just learned so much about Pro Tools in that time. Before, I was using Logic so heavily because I had it, and it was like one of the programs on my computer. I'm like, cool, I'm using Logic for recording, mixing, everything. And I just started learning so much Pro Tools for the certification. And then I was like, well, I need to start using it more, and I just started using it. And ever since then, and all of the major studios that I worked in, they all use Pro Tools as well. There was never Logic on the computer.
Never.
Or Reason or any of this other stuff.
Never.
So I'm like, hey, Pro Tools is the way. So I just locked in on that and went full steam. I love it.
All right. So now let's shift gears. If we had a phase two, right? Let's talk about that. So I, like you said, I love the fact that you built up such a great brand that people are hitting you up now. They want you to mix. Mm-hmm. First of all, let's start it backwards. Let's start at the end. Hey, Wave, I want you to mix my track. What do I have to do? What's the process? You send somebody like a sheet, a form, a survey, or is it a phone call? Like, how do you do that?
Yeah. So now I have a the system that's in place right now is that there's a form on my website. You know, you go, I ask you a few questions about your project, this multi-track or two-track beat, and kind of get an idea about your budget and stuff like that. And then I have you get a reply with a quote, you know, from there. Right. Then we schedule it, you know, and I have an assistant now that works with me. He actually preps all of the sessions, you know, and he does like all of the stuff beforehand. So he's the one that's sending all the quotes out and doing the prep work to the sessions. When I get it, it's nice and ready to go for me to jump in. But before I start mixing now, because I used to handle all this myself. Right. I used to field every email, and now that Eric is working with me, that's his name. Shout out to you, Eric. Now that Eric's working with
another Eric, and I got Eric G working for me, so there you go.
Exactly.
Two Erics, I love it.
Erics are great, right?
Well, yeah, exactly.
So now that he's doing it, man, I call all my clients. I do make a phone call. So when you're doing a mix,
good.
Like, it's important to let people know that, hey, I'm not just like here to take your money. I do care about your project, and I'm going to be working with you, because it's a collaborative process when I'm mixing a record. It's my job to get the artist, producer's vision to come through the speakers. So I got to talk to them and work out some stuff to make sure that we get in there, you know. Sometimes you hit it home run right on the first proof, and they're like, oh man, this is exactly what I'm looking for. Otherwise, and sometimes we work it out. We got, okay, look, I was going more this way. Let's go this way. So just by calling them up and having that first initial conversation, it tends to put people at ease and let them know like that I'm taking it seriously and really working on it.
And you give them a couple revisions.
Oh yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, so in my process, I do three revisions.
Okay, I was gonna say it's typically three. Yeah.
I do up to three revisions. I don't like to go past that. You know, there's been a rare few times where it's like we still haven't got it past the three. But if I feel like we're close, I always say that in the beginning, like, you know, it's part of the spiel. But if I feel like we're close and we just need one more tweak to get it, or you know, then I'll work with you. But it's just like after three times, we're still this far away. Then I'm like, I'm not the guy for you.
You have to revisit.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm okay with that. I hope you're okay with that. Let's good luck with another engineer.
Yeah, that's great. And genres, do you specialize in any specific genres, or are you kind of several? Or how do you like to?
Well, I mix anything that comes, that vibrates.
Nice, I like it.
Right. Yeah, man, any sounds. So I honestly attract more hip-hop, R&B, pop. Right, those are rap. I track that all the day, you know.
Yeah.
It's funny that I do, because I had a roommate down at Full Sail, and we were debating whether we're gonna go to Atlanta or New York after school. And he ended up going to Atlanta. He did great there. He actually produced on Kanye. He's got multi platinum plaques now from
Productions
and stuff.
Who's that?
His name is 3D, man. His name is Darius Jenkins. 3D Productions is the production company he goes by.
Nice.
But yeah, man, we came up. So it's just good to see that, like, he's doing this thing too. And there a bunch of other people from Full Sail are doing that thing in the industry. But right. So I decided not to go to Atlanta because I didn't want to get boxed into doing only rap music all the time. Mm. So I was like, you know, the rap scene is heavy. If I go there, we're going to be working at a hip hop studio. So I went to Quad. Thinking like, you know what, Quad in New York, it's gonna be a much more diverse studio. There's a bunch of rappers there too.
It's all hip hop. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's taken over. It's really like the new pop music. There is no, I mean, of course, there's some distinctions, but there's so much hip hop influence in pop, right?
Yeah, pop and country
and country. Yeah, and it's a beautiful thing. I think
808s and auto tunes on country songs, man.
with some killer guitars and fiddle. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Bro, I love it, man. I don't think an 808 works for every song.
That's right. That's right. If it's used right, that's right, man. You got to know how to EQ it, though, right?
Yeah. Gotta rumble the whole building.
Man, that's awesome. So, okay, so you're mixing, and that's your process for clients. How did you develop this beautifully branded and packaged YouTube platform? Now you're doing session templates. I love that. Mix templates. I love that. And, you know, talk about that, because everybody, man, I got to go viral. And a lot of people, I think the key ingredient, tell me if I'm wrong, I don't have 100,000 subscribers like you do. I think the key ingredient is, number one, to just get started, and number two, be consistent. Is that right?
Yes. Both of those are two keys. The other key for me was to create evergreen content.
Yes.
Right. You definitely got to remember that YouTube is a search engine. It's the second largest search engine next to Google. So when people are on YouTube, they're searching for stuff. They want to know how to do something, or they want to know, you know, all this mainly how to. That's the most thing that's is how to. So I've realized that I may not create nothing. I was never trying to go viral. All I wanted to do was create content that would still be relevant in 5-10 years. So that's what my goal was, you know, because I knew, like, this is a long game, you know. So if I get a video up, somebody can still search how to record in Pro Tools 5 years from now, and that video still makes sense, right? Or what's an audio interface? Stuff like that, right? Yeah. And the real, I knew that it was a possibility to grow on YouTube, because I was watching, I was a huge fan of Dave Pensado. I still love him and all his stuff too. But I used to watch all his videos, and he really, if you notice, my videos are kind of inspired. It got the Into the Layer look, right, of kind of with Dave Pensado's show. So I was heavily inspired by what he was doing, but I knew that I would be speaking to a different audience, right? Mm-hmm. And that's another thing, too, is just kind of having that niche audience. So in my first videos, I started this at the time when I was teaching at the college. And I really didn't like to repeat myself. So it really pushed me to make these videos. So I would start to make videos based on the lessons that I was teaching in class. That way, if a student missed the class, they were late, bam, I would send them a link to their email. And there's the video. There's your lesson.
Done.
You know what I'm saying? Email me if you got a question about it. And then, like, that was it. I didn't have to spend too much time working with you after class or in office hours doing all this stuff. I'm like, dude, you missed the class. I was there.
It's on you. Right. Exactly.
I was there. So, you know, to help better serve them, I started making these videos that they can watch anytime. And then even students that were in class, they found the video helpful, because you don't just, it's not just me saying it one time. You can stop this and pause it and try it and go back and rewind and do all that stuff. So that having the video content is crucial for learning. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Now, you edit all your own videos?
Yeah.
Is that, and you said you studied video editing. I forgot where you studied that.
High school.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, right. At the Performing Arts High School program. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was, I learned some video editing in iMovie in high school. And as I, you know, I continue, I dabbled a little bit in video editing. You know, I was always into all the technology stuff. So Pro Tools and, you know, audio mixing, video, I did a little camera work, but I learned a lot of the video editing stuff, color grading, all that stuff off of YouTube.
Right.
Like, I get so much stuff from YouTube. That's why I was like, you know, I can get back to YouTube, because
that's awesome.
All I do is, I watch YouTube all day. I still, like, it's my favorite thing to do is watch YouTube.
That's awesome. Yeah, because it just, it never ends. It's beautiful. You, and you're right, you learn so much.
Yeah.
So do you still use iMovie?
No, I use Adobe Premiere now.
Okay, I was going to say, I've seen your videos. It seems like you stepped up that game a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, when I first was editing, I was literally editing the videos on my phone.
On my phone, yeah.
Yeah, so that, you know, for people who want to create content, you don't have to go and spend $3,000 on a camera.
Right.
Or you get this fancy stuff. Like, you, the iPhone camera is great. The mic on it is pretty good too.
Yeah.
It got some editing software that you can use. I was using a thing called LumaFusion, I believe, because it was the only one on the app that let me do the picture in picture. So I could have my computer screen and then have my camera screen at the same time. And so I was editing all on my iPhone. And that would take me hours
right.
to do that. Now editing on Premiere is like, it's a breeze. I've gotten so much faster by doing this over the years. Like, I can get a video edited in an hour or,
yeah, you
know, depending on the type of video. But
let me ask you this. Do you like to write a script, shoot it, and then edit? Or do you just go on the fly and ad lib once you have a subject matter in mind?
Yeah, I tried the script thing.
It's tough, right? Yeah, yeah.
Because I start talking funny.
Yeah. All stiff, right?
You become stiff. My first couple videos, I played it for some friends, and they was like, why are you talking like that, though? Like, hello, guys, I'm Wavy Wave, and today we're going to learn this thing. I'm like, all right, you know, scratch that. I know what the hell I'm talking about. I'm just going to talk to, and that's another skill that you just got to learn, to kind of talk to the camera like it's somebody there, because you were sitting in the room alone, like, how can I be animated and give personality and, you know, kind of, and use that camera. Another thing too that I learned from Jim Jones too, like being around him, watching him do music videos and stuff. I learned how he engaged with the camera, looking right at it and move around. And he also was doing like the Love and Hip Hop show. And so it was a lot of lessons, man. And how to, once you have an audience watching you, how to now monetize that audience. Maybe I'm gonna sell a t-shirt, or I got product placement in the video, right? So there's all kind of stuff that you can just learn if you shut up and listen.
I love that, man, because you are an entrepreneur. You're not only a successful engineer, but you're a successful entrepreneur. And honestly, you know, if we are the Gary V culture, right? Like, you know, that's what we are, and that's what he's teaching everybody to be, and that's what society is being groomed for, because the institution of fill in the blank, school, corporation, whatever it is, it's dwindling. It's all about, you know, what you can build for yourself.
Absolutely, man. YouTube University is probably the fastest growing online university in the world, right?
I mean, imagine where the sucker's going to be in another 10, 20 years.
It's crazy. Yeah, it's going to be crazy, man.
Wow. Yeah,
I love how accessible everything is. And that's another reason why I wanted to get a part of it, man. My Full Sail education was about 70 grand, not including interest and all this other crap, you know? So I feel like I just want to help people to learn this stuff without having to go into that debt and go down that road.
Yes.
Yes, Full Sail, because some people will need it. And I feel like it meant for me to go there. I needed to do that so I can get out of where I'm at. I wouldn't have been able to apply myself as much, but some people may, a different path may work for you, and you can do that, man. You can really just jump on YouTube and probably learn. Yeah, I mean, if you can probably learn everything you need to know if you spend enough time.
That's right. You've shared so many great little pearls of wisdom throughout the discussion, man. Is there anything that you would, you know, maybe we left out? There's something that you want to tell everybody, hey, don't forget this.
Enjoy the process. Always be open to learning. Continue learning. I'm still learning and studying everything as I go. I'm reading books on mixing constantly to this day. Yes. I never think that I know it all. I'm always questioning myself and if everything is going to be if it's as best as it could be. So I would say do that. I'm not sure when you're putting this out.
Yeah,
but if it's out before the end of this month, I also have a big giveaway going on that you got to enter, right? Before the end of this month here, October, the last day in October, we're going to close it. But we're giving away over $10,000 in studio equipment. Universal Audio has jumped in as the main sponsor. They're going to be giving away three interfaces, Apollo X6, an Apollo Twin, and an Apollo Solo. We got Antares giving up some AutoTune Unlimited subscriptions. Atom Audio is giving away monitors. AKG's giving up microphones and headphones. So a super huge giveaway, man. I reached out to these companies because I wanted to give back. That's my whole thing. I want to make everything accessible and constantly give, 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 you know. I do a lot with these different brands, and I'm like, yo, every time I work with a brand, I'm like, yo, what can you give me to give my people? You know, like we can do this, but can we also do a giveaway? Can you also do this? And the main thing is because, you know, shoot, people know that a lot of times you got these products and companies who want to work with you just to get their name out there, but they got to do something. And I'm like, bro, the least you can do is give up some stuff. And it's not all just for me. Again, I'm giving away. I'm not getting nothing out of this $10,000 giveaway, but I just put it all together. And it's like, look, I think this will be dope if we celebrate it, because literally over 100,000 people subscribe to me. I just think that's crazy. And I look at it as a huge responsibility. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, you know, it's something on me. Like, they're looking for it. They're waiting on the next video. They're waiting on that content. So I'm going to deliver on every chance I get.
Matt, okay, this is perfect. You're slated. Check this out. I'm looking at the schedule right now. I'm looking at the inventory queue, because we're going to hit 100 episodes on New Year's Eve. Will be our 100th episode. I'm super stoked about that. Thank you. But you're slated for mid-November. Here's what I'm going to do, because I'm so excited about what you're doing. As soon as we get done with this interview, I'm going to hit up my team and be like, sorry, stop the presses. Whoever's coming out Monday, we got to boot them back, and Wayne is coming out Monday. So, so we're going to do that. So again, when you're hearing this, check out, go to wavywayne.com, check out his giveaway, $10,000 giveaway. And you said it, I just watched the promo. You said Universal Audio is the biggest sponsor. And you said, I think it's three, they're giving away three Apollos, or how's that working?
There's going to be three winners. You know, the prize package is $10,000 in total, right? So it's not like the one pack, right? Gotcha. So $10,000 in total, split amongst three winners.
Beautiful.
Each winner is going to get an Apollo interface. Plus a whole bunch of other stuff.
Yeah. That's super dope, man. And you know, it's so funny. The perfect segue. One of the questions that I love to ask is about business acumen. And when I say business acumen, we touched on some of it. We touched on budgeting. We touched on, you know, etiquette and things like that. But I'm also talking about negotiating, branding. We touched on that. Accounting, scheduling. But building these deals, you know, that, again, kudos to you for taking the initiative to reach out. And, you know, first of all, I want people to understand, when you have an endorsement deal or a sponsorship, you know, co-op, so to speak, you have to be aware that you need to give something back to that company. It's, right. You know, and what you're offering to that company is your 100,000 audience member eyeballs, right?
Exactly. Yeah. You got 100,000 plus people potentially that are going to put eyes on your product. Right. There's going to be sales. And I understand all of this. Right. So even as I'm working with companies, you know, I'm like, yeah, I'm giving you access to this. But then, like, you know, it has to be a give and take.
Symbiotic.
Because I understand the value in my channel and my audience as well. So it's not like, you know, it's going to give me, hey, Wayne, we're going to give you here's $100. Talk about our product, so that you can go and make $100,000.
Yeah, right. Amen to that. Heck no. Hell no.
Right. Let's talk about this and make it make sense for all of us, though.
I love it.
I understand how it goes, but we gotta make it make sense.
Is this your first time reaching out to those companies, or have you been, you know, developing these relationships?
So most of the companies that I've that are part of this $10,000 giveaway now is gonna. I've done deals with them in the past, right?
Okay,
I've done, like, great. Some stuff with them, so, and we've had a good track record, and now we linked up, man. I'm really excited about working with Universal Audio, though. To me, they're like the top tier of, you know, of
no doubt,
going on in the industry. So for them to have interest in what I'm doing, it just really makes me excited about the future and the possibilities of stuff.
That's brilliant. Yeah, UA definitely brought the technology to everybody's home, right? Exactly. The price point they set, it's like, you know, look, we're going to take care of you. We're going to let you get a dope ass rig for your house, for your home, you know, whatever.
Yeah. And to kind of jump back a little bit too to what you were saying about business acumen, man, like that's so, it's so crucial to make sure that you are running your, in a, running your stuff like a business, right? For so long, it was just a hustle. Right. And now just the hustle. Like, look, I'm going to take a session. I'm putting the cash in my pocket.
Right. On to the next.
On to the next thing, you know, and then that stuff comes up. But now I have a couple people on the team and scheduling and things. Some things are being automated now. And
that's right.
The more and more that you start to scale, because you got to think about scaling everything. Like, yo, I can't do everything, man. Once I have literally 5,000 emails coming through, I can't reply to them all. But I want to, though. So what maybe I can hire somebody that fields the emails and answers the DMs. You know what I'm saying? Then they bring me the most pertinent ones.
That's right.
So that kind of stuff, and just thinking about that and being proactive, accountant, get you a QuickBooks account.
Well, I'll take it a step further. I've always, since I've been doing music as a living, I've always hired an accountant, because that, like, I know that I suck at numbers. You know, I can add and subtract, but that's about it. And then beyond that, I'm like, okay, I have X amount in my account. Okay, I need to make X amount to make the bills. But after that, you know, amortization, talking about when you buy gear and they amortize it over the years, so that it, you know, because it's depreciating in value. And man, that stuff, that goes above my head, you know, so.
You are sorry above my head. I'm like, I'm just with the QuickBooks, man. Look.
So either get a good software program or get an accountant, but, you know, handle it, you know. Yeah. Know the difference between LLC or DBA, right? You know, or S Corp.
This too, man, for all the listeners that's up and coming, pay your taxes.
Oh!
Make sure that you are accounted for that. You know, I got into most of my life, again, I was hustling. Right. So even a lot of stuff was cash on hand, running these sessions, I'm booking sessions, doing all this, and I'm putting cash in my pocket, and you know, and then I wanted to get a lease for a car or apartment or something, and I have no verifiable income, even though I've got cash. You don't have no trail, though. You haven't paid taxes, and I was backed up on taxes. I had to pay like 3-4 years worth of taxes at one time to start, you know, getting my grown man life going on. So I would definitely, you know, advise that people take care of that stuff up front. Kind of have, if clients are cutting you checks, go to your LLC and get your business bank account. Start building a business credit and all of that good stuff, because it can take you a long way.
So true, man. Take your grown-up pills.
Grow up.
I love it.
It's easy for ourselves, because we just want to be like, man, I don't want to deal with none of that. Like,
I just want to make music.
Yeah. I lock myself in. I don't want to.
Right.
Until it's at your door, and then you're like, oh, what? Shit. I do what? Oh, how much? Oh, okay. I can't get anything? No?
Yeah. Man, this has been great. You mind if we close with some rapid-fire questions?
All right, Lou, let's do it.
All right, favorite food?
Chicken.
Favorite drink, adult or non-adult?
Scotch, Macallan's, 12 year.
Oh, dude, I can't believe you said Macallan Scotch. Yes, that's my favorite Scotch.
Nice.
Come on, man. 12 is like, it's perfect because it's not too expensive, but still smooth, right?
Yeah, I love it. I bought a bottle last night for a session we were doing, and I had a little sip this afternoon.
There you go. The Macallan, baby. All right, favorite sport?
Football.
Oh, football. I thought you were going to say basketball, because I see the Bulls on you.
I'm just
all right, football. How do you spend your free time, assuming you have any, with three kids now? Wow. Yeah, congrats, by the way.
Chilling. Yeah, I chill. When I do a little bit of time, I chill.
Yeah,
nice. Eat on the couch.
Okay, good. Do you prefer to be driven or do you prefer to drive yourself?
Drive.
Nice. What activities do you enjoy on long flights?
Sleep.
What's the last song, band, artist that you've listened to that you had no professional affiliation with?
Big Sean.
Big Sean.
Yeah, Big Sean's Detroit 2. I was just listening to his album. I think that's a dope body of work. One of the best hip-hop albums I've heard this year.
Nice. A song, band, or artist that changed you. You said, man, I gotta do that.
Jay-Z.
Jay-Z, there you go. New York, baby. Yeah. All right. Favorite TV show that you're streaming when you're chilling on the couch?
I don't really have one right now. I guess, look, I got a default show. It's King of the Hill. King of the Hill is my default show when there's nothing else to do.
I always impersonate when he goes, "Now, Bobby." I couldn't do it just now, but
I'll tell you what.
I'll tell you what. I crack up my daughter, but anyway. All right. Yo, shopping, online or brick and mortar?
Brick and mortar.
Yeah, I like that. Old school, me too. Dream collaboration.
Ooh, dream collaboration? Pensado.
Dave Pensado. There you go. Pensado's place. I love it. And finally, fake program drum roll, right? only because we're both sitting in our studios with no drums. If you weren't a career musician, what would you do? That's a heavy one, right?
Be homeless?
I like that. That's a good one.
I would probably be a bum. I'd probably be detached. I'd be one of those weird conspiracy theory people who like live off the grid or some shit.
That's crazy, man. I love it. I've heard some good ones lately. I think somebody told me a drug dealer. I was like, okay, yeah.
I might be in jail if it wasn't for music. I might have already have took a wrong turn in life.
And I think that's so true for so many of us, man. I think when you hear about these programs, you know, music really does save people.
It does.
Right?
Yeah. Man, I'll leave with one thing on that note is like, really, I truly believe in that. When I made the decision to go to Full Sail, I was at a huge crossroads in my life that, you know, I was going to either do something dumb or do something dumber. And I got another follow-up call from a recruiter at Full Sail, like, "Hey, you considering to come?" And I was like, "Yes, I'll be there as soon as possible," because I took that as a sign that, you know, I was headed down a wrong path.
Yeah, man.
So yeah, music can definitely save you. And I noticed that with a lot of my clients too. Like, they come and they life gets you, and music is an escape for that.
I agree, man. It's so funny. I was in a similar situation. I feel like if I didn't have music, I would have definitely got mixed up in the wrong things. A lot of drugs around especially when you're young. You know, drugs everywhere. And all it takes is one time to get hooked on the wrong friggin' drug and you are screwed.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. And when you got ambition, sometimes your ambition gets misplaced if it doesn't have the right outlets, you know? So
that's right.
You might be ambitious toward the wrong thing. And hey.
That's right. I think what we're saying is none of us, we're all susceptible. We're all equally susceptible, right?
Oh, yeah.
None of us are exempt. Yeah.
We are one bad decision away from.
Yeah, that's right.
Being over there.
Man, but on a positive note, Wavy Wayne, you are crushing this game.
Thank you.
And for one, I am so glad that my homie turned me on to you. I'm so glad we met. And I can't wait to talk more because I have some ideas for ways for you and I to collaborate.
Let's do it, man. I like your energy. I think that this is the beginning of a good friendship.
Absolutely. So once again, thank you for being a guest.
No doubt. Nomad, I'll talk to you later.
All right, man.
Download, subscribe, and leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any of your favorite podcast platforms.
Be sure to subscribe to the Career Musician Podcast and like the Career Musician on all social platforms to stay up to date on news and topics that affect your music career.
I'm just a nomad, nowhere man. Writing the songs in this one-man band. A nomad, yeah. I'm a nomad, yeah. Ooh, oh, oh. So hush now, darling, you'll be fine.
Hey, this is Nomad, host and creator of the Career Musician Podcast, and I am thoroughly stoked to be an official member of the Pantheon Podcast Network. Pantheon Podcast Network is the first of its kind as an all music-based podcast collective. Please be sure to check us out at pantheonpodcast.com for more info.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.